Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the South County Chambers of Commerce, we'd like to thank you tonight for coming. This is an important time in our area. Anytime we go through the one of our greatest things we get to do is elect officials for our area. And so this is what the evening's about, is to hear from those individuals that will be running and asking for your vote in the next couple weeks. So again, we thank all of the candidates for coming tonight. Let's give them applause for all coming. As always, we want to thank our chamber members, because without them, then none of this stuff is possible for us to do. So we really appreciate our members and our chairman circle. The chairman circle is our group of individuals that help us finance a lot of the things that take place. We want to thank over here at AGP. They're going to be having the video of this, and that way we'll have a video of this actually running on the loop. So that'll work out great. They've done both of our forums. We want to thank the League of Women Voters. They have got a situation. If you haven't registered, there is still time. So they're in the back smiling. They got bottles of water. They'll keep you hydrated till you get your form filled out and get you taken care of. A couple of things that are going to be going is there's some ballot initiatives also that are going to be going on. And those ballot initiatives are one regarding the business tax certificate, and the other is regarding the city transit occupancy tax. And those were actually, we want to thank the current council for looking at different opportunities and options on that and creating a product that was really a team effort. So we want to thank them for that. Next, yes, go ahead, clap. I love the clap. Just clap. Amen, amen. All right. Next thing we want to do is we want to thank all of our governmental affairs committee members. They've been great for us. They meet on a monthly basis with the city managers, which helps keep us in tune with all of our things going on in our community. So we really appreciate Matt really stepping up and taking care of that for us here. Next, we would want to thank Wendell. Wendell, raise your hand. That is our treasurer of our board of... And tonight he is the timekeeper. He keeps me on time at the meeting, so there's no one better to do it here, too. He is a great asset to us and has did a great job last time for us. We're excited that we have Stacy Korsgaden. Stacy, right over here with Farmers Insurance, right here in Grover Beach, right in the heart of Grover. And a Grover girl. She lives here in Grover Beach and really a fantastic member of our board. She's executive vice president, and I know everybody can't wait for her to take over, so it's coming very quickly, including myself on that one. The last but not least, we want to thank everyone for coming tonight. This is part of the process of being Americans, and we're excited that we get to do that. In that, we're going to have Linda. Linda, would you want to come on up? Linda is one of our ambassadors, and our ambassador team is phenomenal. They do more things. Was it 2 years ago or last year you were ambassador of the year? Last year. She's going to lead to us in the flag salute tonight. So would everyone rise? And now the lady of the hour, Stacy.
Thank you, Sharon. Welcome, everyone. We certainly appreciate you coming out and support of our local community. And before we begin, I would like to read the Code of Civility, the pledge, which seven city mayors of San Luis Obispo County has already signed, along with the chair of the Board of Supervisors. Additionally, this document was provided to all of the Grover Beach candidates here tonight for their review. And the pledge states that we will listen first, respect different opinions, be courteous, disagree constructively, and debate the policy, not the person. We have collected questions from the audience, but if for those of you that don't know, there's some paper and some pens in the back, and if you should have some questions, please fill out the sheet, and it'll come back here, and we'll provide the question to the candidates. We will begin tonight's forum by asking each candidate to take 2 minutes to introduce themselves and talk about what's important to them. Then each candidate will have 1 minute to answer questions once provided from the audience. So Liz, if you would begin.
There we go. Good evening, and thank you for being here. Much thanks to Jocelyn Brennan and the South County Chambers of Commerce for hosting this candidates forum. I am Liz Dukas. I am running for the office of mayor because I care about this community. I care about the people in our beautiful city, and I am concerned about our future. For the last 20 years, I have been involved in our community through volunteer work and nonprofits on committees. I'm a founding member of the Eco Club of the Five Cities. The very dedicated members of the club promote recycling, composting, and reusing at community events. I am concerned about the fiscal impacts the council's decisions have on the citizens and the fiscal health of our city. I believe this city is at a crossroads. While we look at revenue generation through TOT tax and cannabis sales, we also need to strive not to negatively impact our city, our citizens, and our quality of life. While Jeff Lee and John Scholes ignored staff recommendations and voted for several marijuana sellers they had developed cozy relationships with, I would like to promote business owners and sell locally grown crops and who do not have a criminal history. Meanwhile, because of conflicts of interest, Debbie Peterson cannot vote on marijuana issues. In fact, at the last city council meeting, Debbie had to recuse herself on two matters in just one evening. We need a mayor that can fully be involved in all issues of our city and is not burdened with multiple conflicts of interest. I am completely independent, and I am not tied to any special interest groups. As City Manager Matthew Bronson said in our candidate meeting, we work for the people of the city of Grover Beach, and we should always have that understanding going forward at the forefront of any decisions we make. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
Thank you, and welcome this evening, and thank you to the chamber. My name is Jeff Lee. I'm running for mayor of Grover Beach, and I'm very excited to be here this evening and also honored to have the enthusiastic support of the community as I've been getting out the walk and talking with residents throughout Grover Beach. When my wife and I first moved to Grover in 2001, I fell in love with the city and knew that we wanted to get involved. So I began to volunteer and learn about the city. And then in 2009, I volunteered and was chosen to be on the Parks, Rec, and Beautification Commission, so the proverbial fund committee, so because we do so many wonderful things for the community from that position. And I was elected chair for the last 2 years of my term there. And then the residents gave me the opportunity and the privilege by electing me to the city council in 2012 and then re-electing me again in 2016. My number one goal for the city has always been to fix our streets. With the hard work and the community support, we passed Measure K-14 and are in the process of fixing our streets. It's been the number one issue for a number of years here, and until we fix the streets, it will continue to be our number one issue. As we move forward, I want to make sure that my other goals are addressed, which are to make sure that we have a strong public safety presence with a well-equipped and a well-trained police and fire staff. And I also want to diversify our economy so that we as a city are not reliant just on property taxes. We can increase our revenues through a thoughtful hotel development, through implementation of the broadband network, and the safe rollout of the cannabis industry. I will also look for ways to strengthen our existing business community and make sure that those that want to stay here will stay here. So as mayor, I will continue to listen to all viewpoints and will meet with anyone who wants to help improve the city and move forward with our vision. So thank you again for being here tonight, and I look forward to your support during this election.
Thank you. Debbie?
Well, you all applauded us for being here, but I'd like to applaud you for being out there. Thank you for coming tonight. My family has chosen to live in Grover Beach for over 20 years. I raised my son here. I wanted him to have the advantages of a small-town upbringing, and raising him here exceeded my expectations. He's just graduated from college and is working in Silicon Valley. I am a real estate broker, And in 2011, I put my money where my mouth was. I really believed in the vision that we have as a community for Grover Beach down on West Grand Avenue that started when 2004 when I was on the Planning Commission, and that was that it would be walkable, it would be safe, it would be full of really fun shops. So I moved my home and my business down to that area to a condo and an office, and just recently purchased a mixed-use building. And therein lies my conflict of interest, because almost across the street from me is a cannabis dispensary or somewhere that's been approved as a cannabis dispensary. They're not open yet. So I will always err on the side of integrity, and I have erred on the side of not voting when someone is within 500 feet of my home and my business because there's a financial interest. I put my money where my mouth was. I moved to the area, but it also has a downside. I've knocked on every door of every home and business in Grover Beach to bring people together to get the job done. I have, as a directly elected mayor, I will answer to you, not the council, not the staff, not to other elected officials in other cities or jurisdictions, not to special interests, not to political parties, but you who vote. And so on that basis, I would like to share my vision with you tonight, but even more importantly, as your elected representative, what I should be doing is what you, the people of Grover Beach, want done. I want to hear from you so that we can continue to make it not my vision, but our vision for a brighter tomorrow in Grover Beach. My phone number is 550-4490. That's 805. At the end, I'm going to ask for your vote, and I thank you for listening tonight.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you. Barbara?
My husband and I moved to Grover Beach in May of 2000, even though our initial impression of the city was in awful streets and somewhat shabby downtown. We left the Bay Area after 30 years because we were raising our grandson, James, who was 9 at the time, and the Oakland School District was about to be taken over by the state. Our local friends assured us that we would love living here, and we do. Being recently retired from long and varied business careers, it didn't take us long to realize we needed to engage with the community and have activities to focus on, and we chose to become parks and recreation volunteers, which is still one of my very favorite things to do. I believe I've probably participated in facilitating every sort of event the city has hosted in one way or another. In 2009, I discovered the Grover Beach Community Library and fell in love, and I am on the board. I am a librarian. I run several programs, including the summer reading program for children, and I think I can do every job that is taken to stock and maintain our volunteer library. I also joined the police volunteer patrol and completed a regional citizen police academy course, and I enjoyed very much my time there, but I had to resign from it when I was elected in 2014. I have represented our city on the Slow Water Resources Organization, better known as RAC, South County Transit Board, Five Cities Fire Authority, South Sanitation District, and when CAPSLO, Community Action Partnerships, moved from Pismo to Grover, I was very happy to sign up as a member of their board, where I served for 3 years.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you.
Hi.
Miriam?
Oh, okay. Hi, I'm Miriam Shaw. My favorite color is pink, in case you haven't noticed. I've lived in this area for 10 years. We've lived in Grover for 8 years. Right now and last year, I was the PTA president at Grover Heights. So if anyone's participated in the PTA, you know that in and of itself can be a full-time job. I'm also active with the Grover Beach Library. I love working with kids. One of the reasons we moved to this neighborhood is because I think being walking distance to a library is a privilege. I'm originally from Ohio, and I went to college at the University of Michigan, and I went to law school at Georgetown, and then I was a corporate litigator for 7 years. I got really, really, really sick of fighting with people, so I thought I'd go into politics. But really, I do see my role as one vote of five. Things may get a little bit contentious or disagreeing here tonight, but we have to work together as a board. We are each one vote of five, and every day is a new day to collaborate, to have a new vote, or to change somebody's mind. My vision for the city, as you'll see on these little pink flyers, is streets, safety, and securing our future, meaning economic development. I'm really proud of the work we've done on our streets. This project was supposed to take 20 years, and during my 4 years in office, we're already one-third done. We're ahead of schedule. We're under budget. I know it can't happen fast enough, but in government terms, it's going pretty well. We've funded the Five Cities Fire Authority because we believe in paying firefighters a living wage. We want to keep our safety at the same level that it is and improve where we can. And I encourage economic development everywhere that we can, and I'm proud of the work that we've done to regulate the marijuana industry. Thank you.
Thank you, Miriam. Robert?
Good evening. My name is Robert. Robert, thank you for coming, and thank you, Jocelyn and Josh and Stacy, for hosting this event. I've been here for 13 years in Grover Beach, and 10 years ago, I met my beautiful wife, who immediately got me into community service, and I just fell in love with community service. I have a heart for community service. I have a heart for people. I have a heart for serving, and I want to see our city continue to grow. I think they've done a fine job, and I think it's time for some new passion and new direction on the city council. I'm Eco Club Five Cities vice president, co-founder. I'm a member of the Central Coast Exchange Club. I support the Five Cities Cub Scout Pac 13. I sit on the special half-cent sales tax committee for the city of Grover Beach. I'm a member of New Life Church and do the kids tech support for them on Sundays. City of Grover Beach community volunteer and business owner, Dr. Electric. I have time to commit to the city council, and my vision for the city is for the citizens to direct us in what they want. Safety, of course, the streets, marijuana, issuing that in safely is a big concern of mine, and I just want to be here to serve. Thank you very much. I ask for your vote.
Thank you, Robert.
Thank you,
everyone. Now we're going to be entering the question phase, and each candidate will have 1 minute. The first question, we'll start with Liz and work our way down. The first question, what will you do to support business development in Grover Beach?
Business development is crucial to our future, and anything that we can do to help businesses come into our community while protecting our citizens. We have our business corridor next to a lot of residential homes, so everybody wants to be good neighbors. I feel like Grand Avenue is ripe for super growth, as we see in other communities around us. So all we need to do is work together, listen to the citizens, bring in viable businesses that are going to propel us forward to the city that we want to be. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Jeff?
Certainly. Thank you for that question. I think business development is the heart of the business community in Grover Beach. We need to retain the existing businesses that we have, and we need to support those other businesses that do want to relocate here or locate here through making our planning process and our building process smoother and streamlined. So one of the things we as a council did and was very supportive of is making sure that we had a planning and zoning background check to see what is our strengths, what is our weaknesses, and there's 207, I think, improvements that we could make. So one of my goals is to make sure that we continue to do the process improvement. So, and then also develop improvements such as making sure that our broadband network is lit up so that businesses that do want to use that service can have that available. So hotels and cannabis industries are green businesses, proverbial saving water, saving energy. And so those businesses together can lead towards a stronger local community for our existing businesses and then ultimately our residents.
Debbie, thank you, Jeff.
Well, as you all know, businesses are the lifeblood of our community. They're the ones that provide the jobs. They're the ones that pay the taxes, that provide the services that we need as a city. And so it is critical that we support our businesses. And I have a great track record on that. Most recently, I've knocked on every door of every business on Grand Avenue, and I've been holding 6 o'clock on Tuesday nights Facebook streaming live conversations with the businesses in Grover Beach, sponsored by the businesses and at their places of business. What they're telling me is tourism is a huge part of their business, about 30%. And they're also telling us that public safety is very important and that they're having some trouble with transients. And so I want to address all of those things with them. I've got them together. We're talking solutions, and you can join us on Facebook. I've also have a background in economic development, and I've owned my own business all my life, so I really do understand what it's all about.
Thank you, Debbie. Barbara?
As has been said, business is a lifeline of any community, and I think we are doing a very good job of moving forward with businesses that are appropriate for our community. We have a ways to go. Our streets are a major source of being able to, having decent streets is a lure for businesses as well as residents to come and settle in the town. And I think we need to broaden our type of businesses that we're looking for and not rely strictly on mom and pops and tourism things. So we need to keep moving ahead.
Thank you, Barbara. Miriam?
When I came in office, business development was one of the first things I was super excited about. That empty space where Spoon Trade now sits was like a hole in my heart. So I started just calling restaurants, and some of them people actually came. Debbie Thomas from Thomas Hill Organics, she came, she toured. But then I realized that's not going to get it done. I'm so thankful that a restaurant is there now. And if you look at that corner and you look at that corner 4 years ago, it is very different. But we've been working on things, just as Jeff talked about, streamlining our development code. We have 211 suggestions to make it better that we are working on. Getting this Lodge Hotel project up, ground must be broken by June 2019 or they will lose their permit from the city. And I plan to press them on that. Getting this broadband fiber optic network, the ground is broken and it's almost ready to roll. We are hoping that our area can be the next, can be known as the Silicone Dunes.
Thank you, Miriam. Robert?
Thank you. I think the businesses in Grover Beach are, I've talked to quite a few of them, are not real happy with the process of have they have to go through to be in business, to start a business. There's a lot of bureaucracy that they have to go through. The sign ordinances are terrible. We have a sign ordinance against the sandwich board signs, and if you notice, they're all up and down the streets, and the businesses do that because their regular sign ordinance is not appropriate, so what the businesses are telling me. So I think there's a lot of work to do for the businesses. The mom-and-pop shops have been put out of business a lot due to the big box stores. People are going elsewhere to shop. And we are a community of people that there are blue-collar workers and like to shop in this area. But the businesses are just not being able to do that at this point. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Jeff, you'll start this next question. What are your plans for the cannabis revenues?
So it's been asked and on any number of occasions, yes, what do we want to do with the cannabis revenues? I personally think we should treat the cannabis revenues as one-time revenues so that we can improve our facilities, improve our equipment, improve our facilities so that people in the community, improve our parks as well, and so that the people in the community can see the improvements that businesses or those businesses are bringing to the city of Grover Beach. So one of the concerns that I have is if we don't do that, we may end up very similar to Diablo Canyon and San Luis Coastal School District, where they relied upon that funding for teachers' salaries and so forth, and now that puts them in a very difficult situation. So my plan would be to potentially pay down some PERS responsibilities, to pay down some other fiscal responsibilities that the city may have, and then use it for in consideration of one-time funding to improve our facilities, which then the residents in the community can use on a daily basis.
Thank you. Debbie?
Well, it's not about what I want to do with those funds. It's about what you all want to do and about what the council you elect decides to do. And that's the first question I asked at our first streaming live meeting down at Three Fat Guys. And what I was hearing from the businesses was they want public safety. They want more police on the streets. They want faster fire response, which is excellent already. But those are the things that really matter to them, that the fire department's available, there are enough of them, they're safe, they can get there, that the police, it's the same story. And so I would like to see those funds go towards those, and I will fight for that. I would also like to see them working to provide a bed for every head. If we have beds for heads, then we don't have many of the problems that some of the businesses are facing and that some of our population is facing. And I've asked every cannabis company that's come to me, and most of them have, if they're going to give funds, give it to a bed for every head and give it to mental health and give it to drug rehab, because we're sorely lacking all of those things in our community.
Thank you. Barbara?
I think my first solution on that is to do the major streets that are not funded under RK-14. Our 4th Street, Oak Park, South Oak Park, many of the through heavily traffic streets desperately need to be upgraded. And I think that would be a good way to start putting the cannabis funds to use.
Thank you. Miriam?
Gosh, it's hard not going first on this, because I agree with using this money for one-time funds. We're not sure what this industry is going to bring. This industry is not ramped up yet. So I want to be clear, none of this money has even come in yet. My goal with this was always to just improve our industrial area, to have buildings where we don't have buildings, to have nice landscapes and things that are ready to rent and be built, even if this industry were to go away. But if I were to get the money, I would put it toward CalPERS to pay that down as quickly as we can. Also toward public safety. And as Barbara said, our K-14 funds, they cover residential streets, but they don't cover the main roads. And I don't want to drive to my house if I can't drive on Grand Avenue. So we've got to keep our streets up for sure.
Thank you. Robert?
As Miriam was saying, I think we might be overzealous with the funds that are coming in. There's lots of this money is not even allowed to go into a bank, so it's very tricky on how to handle this. This is all a new aspect of what's going on with this business. But the monies that I would like to see maintain the streets, because that's what happened to our streets in the first place. They weren't properly maintained over the years. And, of course, for police and safety to keep the area safe from what's going on. I have grave concerns with the marijuana issue that's happening now. And we just have to keep control of it and just make sure that it's done safely. Thank you.
Thank you. Liz?
Thank you. Sorry. Public health and safety is our number one concern. Our streets are nowhere near close to being in the condition that they need to be in. I don't see these as one-time funds, but a buttress to our budget in order to maintain properly trained staff for proactive code enforcement, which has been long neglected. We haven't had proper code enforcement for over 20 years, as can be reflected in our are how you drive down your streets, what you look at. A well-maintained city is more desirable than not, but we must always keep attention to our citizens and how they are affected by this new business. But I see it as putting money towards city services that have been neglected for so, so long. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, the next question will go to Debbie. And do you have any fresh ideas how to alleviate the current homelessness in Grover Beach? This person says, I'm not really interested in which agencies or organizations you are associated with. I'm looking for new ideas.
That's a really important question, and that is the second meeting that we had with the business owners, and there have been some good suggestions. There's one gal who has a source of funding that I'm going to spend some time talking with and find out if we can get some of that. I really would like to see us have somewhere for the homeless to go during the day. They need a bed for every head, but they have to have somewhere during the day, too, and I'd like to see that. I was very supportive of all of the funds a couple of years ago going to the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. They are doing an incredible job. It didn't all go there. Fortunately, this year it did, and the council raised $500,000 for them. So I'd like to see us continuing to work with other agencies that can help bring money in to help. And if we can get some help in the community for drug rehab, if we could get some even a few drug rehab beds in this county, and if we could get a few mental health beds in the county, it could really make a difference. It's something we have to chip away at.
Thank you, Debbie. Barbara?
The homeless problem is prevalent throughout the United States. I just got back from a League of California Cities conference where I met with officials from the city of Patterson, and they have practically patented a long-term program for dealing with the homeless by using shipping containers that are plumbed. You putting them in a community, which requires a lot of land, and guiding them through from the very basics of personal care. Many of them have forgotten what that is like. Job training, sobriety, for whatever there is, psychiatric treatment. And as they progress through the process, they go into sober living homes. As they progress through that, continuing to take classes on a regular basis and mentoring new people coming in.
Thank you, Barbara. Thank you. Miriam?
I'll have to talk quickly because I have a lot of passion about this. I'm our representative on the Homeless Services Oversight Committee for the county, and I'm the vice chair of that committee. And I appreciate the way whoever asked that question, because it's not who you give money to, it's what you're going to do. We need to have beds and housing. Now, part of that is bringing in the money, and part of that is all of us finding a way to accept that those beds and housing need to exist in someone's backyard. I put my work where my mouth is. I work at our warming center. I cook dinner on Sunday nights, and as opposed to not in my backyard, I push for the warming center to be on my street. It is on my street. It's at Hillside Church, and I was actually on the phone with them today trying to get a meeting to see how we can expand those services. I'm also working on getting some of the state's upcoming grant funding to South County, because we have been long neglected. We are the only part of this county without a homeless shelter. I see our supervisors here. We need that money.
Thank you, Miriam. Robert?
I'm also compassionate about it. I had a very close relative that passed away on the streets and chose that life. And I agree with Miriam. We need to have a place for these people can be. I mean, it's heartless for us just to say they ship them off somewhere else. A lot of counties are just moving them out in a bus and putting them somewhere else, and that doesn't solve the problem at all. Unfortunately, the mental illness and the shutdowns of the hospitals decades ago caused a lot of this problem. It's just not a local problem, as many of you know. It's a nationwide problem, and we all need to have compassion and do something about it and not just pass them off somewhere else. So I'm definitely looking forward to looking for a solution for this problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Liz?
At a recent city council meeting, one of our residents, Marsha Borians, I believe is her name, is currently living with serious unbearable conditions today that we must recognize, support, and start alleviating these social problems immediately. This is not something that can wait. A lot of people are making great strides towards this homeless population situation. We need a homeless shelter. It has got to be recognized as a critical condition that we need to take care of right away. And if we are receiving cannabis monies, we must divvy them up to start alleviating and taking care of these problems one by one as soon as we possibly can. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
And I'll wrap up this question by starting off that saying I am the board member for the Five Cities Homeless Coalition, and the city, through that partnership with them and through other means, has provided close to $1 million in community development block grants to the organization, which allows to provide a hand up and not a handout. So, and that becomes either rapid rehousing or eviction prevention for folks who are on the verge of being homeless or have become homeless and need to stay or need to find a place to live again. So we do have day services locally. Those day services, from a fresh standpoint, are trying to adapt and be modified on a daily basis to enact what the person needs in front of them. Is that mental health issues? Is that drug prevention issue? Is that addiction services? Is that a bus pass to a job so they can have a job employment opportunity? So with that, I think we've got lots of opportunities ahead of us. Some of that is going to be the county funding, and we need to look at each and every one of them in order to not solve the situation, because that's one of the situations that we need to.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Okay, our next question will go to Barbara. Do you support the Grover Beach Lodge project?
Absolutely. It's been a long time coming. We worked very hard at it. It's a very difficult process to work with a private builder, county rules and regulations, state's rules and regulations, the Coastal Commission. We have worked through all of them. We are hopefully this time for sure going to be ready to break ground at the hotel in early 2019.
Thank you. Miriam?
Yes, absolutely. I support this project. We have always called this a catalyst project, and I believe that is what it's going to be. If we could have tourists on our beach eating at our restaurants, shopping at our stores, that's going to make a huge difference for us. Of course, it needs to be done in a way that preserves the beauty of our city. But if anyone has seen the plans, I really think we're getting there, and we'll continue to take input from people to keep getting there. But this is going to be a new wave for our city when this finally comes in. And I am with everyone on your impatience on this, because when I moved here 8 years ago, my realtor told me it was coming. So I want it just as bad as everyone else. If for no other reason, there is going to be a deck on top where we can all have a glass of wine. So let's get it done.
Thank you. Robert?
I do support the hotel. I do have concerns about the monies that we might not see from it. From what I understand, we've supplied most of the money for the infrastructure, where usually the developer does that. It started back, and I think in the mid-80s, the vision and dream for this convention center, and it's turned from a convention center into a hotel, and it's on state property, and I think Pacifica had to add more rooms and take away convention space. So I think it's a great idea, but the jury's still out with me. I think it could supply jobs and revenue for the city, hopefully, but I think we've given away a lot of that to just get to this point where we are now. So,
thank you. Liz?
Well, having lived here 20 years, I've heard about the project in many forms, in many times, from many city councils. This current lodge project has been redesigned numerous times, and the plans have changed dramatically in height, buildings, and mass, with elevator shafts exceeding heights and kind of taken away our airspace, so to speak. And a lot of concerns or citizens are concerned that I've talked to are very concerned about their even being able to see the sea and the ocean and the sunset like they had in the past as this height has increased. I'm also concerned about the loss of parking for our local residents to recreate safely and without the frustrations that many people have in Southern California. We've already taken many monies from our water fund. We've all had water rate increases, and the monies that have been taken from our water fund, $250,000, went to help Pacifica companies put in the infrastructure.
Thank you. Thank you. Jeff?
So I am supportive of the lodge. So I've been part of the subcommittee that's been dealing with the developer and the state and working in partnership in order to advance this project. So, and as Miriam said earlier, so this is a project that does need to come out of the ground in 2019. Otherwise, the developer will need to go back and reissue those permits. So the monies that have been invested in the community for this project are necessary for water and sewer improvements. So the revenues that will come off of that project or come off of the lodge are going to be beneficial to the city, and it is going to be a catalyst project. So Debbie's about to take credit for bringing Ribline into the community. However, that restaurant is here because they knew the lodge and convention center were coming, and they stay because they want the lodge to be able to bring their businesses, being residents and tourists, into their business to eat and to enjoy the community. So yes, I'm very supportive of the lodge.
Thank you. Debbie?
Thank you, Jeff. That's a great segue, because that's what I was going to start with. I was the real estate broker whose agent represented the Ribline, and I represented the property owner, and we got the Ribline here, and that is why we got them here. And so it's already acting as a catalyst. That's one of the reasons that the West End of Grand is such a great place to be right now. I've been watching this project. I've been approving this project since I was on the Planning Commission in 2004, got onto the council in 2008, became mayor in 2012. Thankfully, while I was mayor, we did succeed in getting it approved by the Coastal Commission, and we actually also managed to fight an appeal. So I am obviously very pro-hotel because I think it's a great opportunity for the community. There have been some changes recently. Now the city isn't going to spend any more than $700,000, which I think is going to be music to some folks' ears. Folks have been concerned about that. There will be some additional parking because the actual conference center itself is not going to be built yet. And I think that's also going to be very good for the horse folks and for the...
Thank you, Debbie.
Sorry. Four-wheelers.
Barbara? We started with you. I'm sorry.
That's right.
I was just testing you.
Next.
Good job.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Okay. So the next question will be, Miriam, if you would start. How will you work with young families to help tackle the cost of housing?
All right. This is another good question. My first 2 years on the council, I was a member of the Housing Trust Fund, representing our city and helping to secure funds to build affordable housing throughout this county. I think the long and short of it is I can't do it alone. I need people willing to collaborate with me on building affordable housing, and I think as a city we could do more. We're the only city in the county, one of two cities in the county that doesn't have an inclusionary housing ordinance, and that's because our housing was always affordable. And I'm not sure if that's a fit for us, but we do need to find a way as a council to encourage the development of more affordable housing in our city. That's just the long and short of it. Build more housing and help more families.
Thank you. Robert?
Unfortunately, as many of you know, we're a very small city. Our footprint is 2.2 2 miles, I believe. And we have very little room. I mean, we can go up, but we can't go out. And affordable housing is very important, and people need to be able to afford where they live and where they work in their communities. A lot of people that live in Grover Beach work San Luis Obispo, Santa Barbara, Santa Maria, and they use this as a bedroom community. As Miriam says, our housing has always been pretty affordable, but the skyrocketing prices of rent is a problem. And we need to work and collaborate with other organizations and state entities that can help us solve this problem, because we don't have much property to build on is the problem. Thank you.
Thank you. Liz?
Thank you. Past councils have indebted the citizens by way of water rate increases, bonding, K-14 bonding for the city streets that had been neglected for so long and literally no dollars put to them, therefore attracting viable businesses to generate the tax dollars needed to run this city and to get the citizens every possible chance they can to live there is very, very important. Recently, there has been talk about rent control that has got to be established for every city. We must implement some type of rent control, although we understand that homeowners, rent out. We're 51% rentals in this city. So I think that rent control and paying attention to the struggles of young families trying to live here in our beautiful, beautiful city, we've got to pay attention to that. That's got to be a number one factor, is to not indebt our citizens any longer. Thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
I think in some respects we are actually doing part of this, but we need to do more. And I think the reason I say we're doing part of this is because our demographic is actually trending a little bit younger. I'm seeing more families in town. I'm seeing more people with young kids come into the city and go to our grocery stores and go to our gas stations, go to our restaurants. But I think in order to continue that trend, we do need to possibly increase our density and have some additional either apartments or first-time sized homes in the community. So through that, we can do some partnerships with Habitat for Humanity or People Self-Help Housing. But again, we do need to kind of partner with folks in order to do this and kind of be a marketing tool or use a marketing tool in order to bring young families to the community so that they can enjoy this lovely area. And we are currently the most affordable area in the county, so I think we need to maintain that affordability through these efforts. And as a member of the council, I've been highly supportive of that.
Thank you. Debbie?
It's something I deal with every day as a real estate broker. And in our city, in Grover Beach, there's not a lot we can do because we have only infill lots left. We don't have many places where we can build the kind of more affordable housing. However, we have in the past managed to find a way to do some of it, even on a small scale with Habitat for Humanity. It's time for us to do that again. It's been many, many years since we've done that. We've also been able to get some funding from the state for housing, and that some of it has gone to rehab housing. Some of it has gone, a great deal of it now is it with the Five Cities Homeless Coalition. And the other thing that the city has done is we've relaxed some of the planning rules so that we can build more affordable housing, put more homes on one lot, which makes it easier to afford. And I have strongly been encouraging some of the reviews of our development code, which will encourage allowing even greater flexibility so that we can build some affordable housing.
Thank you. Barbara?
And with the same theme, I would like to see some zoning changes, adaptations, so that instead of filling an empty lot with two or three PUDs, that we would have a market rate PUD and a smaller first-time family type single-family residence, and get as many funds as we can from as many sources as we can to help convince the developers that this is the way to go.
Okay, thank you. Miriam? Okay, good job. Okay. Robert, the next question is, what would you do to clean up the residential eyesores?
homes in disrepair, trash stored around homes, and out-of-control weeds?
That's an easy one. Community volunteers. I mean, I'm a community volunteer. We do that on a regular basis. It's getting the community involved, and the community is completely willing to be involved. It's just a matter of question on asking. The Rotary Clubs, the other clubs in town are perfectly willing. We just need to organize them and get it done.
Great. That's it. Liz?
Thank you. Having been to many, many city council meetings and having listened to citizens complain about this very same thing, I have been a proponent of proactive code enforcement laws that are already in place. It's very simple. It's very clear. We just need a proactive department in which, with, as Robert says, volunteers in the community to work very hard. We're all neighbors. We all want to be good neighbors. People do struggle, and we can be there to help. That's part of our club that we belong to. There are many residential eyesores. I've said this many times, that we have million-dollar homes next to dilapidated properties. And unless the city becomes proactive and get out there and start communicating with the citizens, working with the neighbors, we all want to be good neighbors. So let's work towards that.
Great. Thank you, Jeff.
And I'll reiterate that theme and say it is a multi-pronged approach. So there is going to need to be volunteers, but there needs to be some responsibility by homeowners as well. So and if folks do have a cleanup in their property and they're not doing it through their own responsibility, there is a code enforcement staff member that has been fully funded by this council and by the city in order to move forward and say, you need to clean up your yard. You need to do this. You need to proactively respond to the city's concerns. So, but it does take a community to be participatory in this. One of the things we also do need to make sure is the communication status through the Five Cities Fire Authority if there is weed abatement issues that are necessary. So overall, I think this is a community issue and a personal responsibility issue at the same time.
Thank you. Debbie?
We do have some things in place which have been mentioned. We just hired a code enforcement officer, so we're getting more calls on that, and we're getting through a much bigger workload. So the responsibility of you all is to call the code enforcement officer. If you aren't comfortable doing that, for whatever reason, call me. I have already spoken many times to the city manager about certain circumstances, and I'm happy to do that again on your behalf. As was mentioned, we do have a weed abatement program. The other thing that was mentioned by a local business, which I just loved, was if we clean it up really well, it will encourage other people to clean it up. They will keep it nicer. So I think that we need a commitment on the part of the city and the city council that we're going to keep our own backyards clean too, not just in our homes, but in the city itself.
Thank you. Barbara?
The volunteer issue is problematic in the respect that these are private properties, and we can't have a citizen task force suddenly descend on a person's private property and say, we're going to clean you up. So it has to be done through reporting and through code enforcement, as far as I can see.
Thank you. Miriam?
I was very excited that during my term in office, we have been able to finally, after 20 years, hire a code compliance officer. But he's only part-time on residential compliance. He also works on marijuana compliance. So getting more funding to have maybe a full-time code compliance officer or a code compliance department would be great. As our city grows, as our funds grow, that's definitely in the works. Also, our code is old and hard to interpret and hard to read. And the poor city attorney has dealt with me many times asking about different things because I don't know if many of you saw on the internet, someone was complaining about cars on blocks. Certainly cars on blocks must be unpermitted. Well, maybe, maybe not, according to our code. So I've been pushing to redraft a code that can actually be enforceable and getting people to enforce it. And our city attorney and our city manager are going to start bringing us pieces publicly that we can vote on and we can change to make the whole system better.
Thank you. Robert, you started with that one. Is that correct? Okay. Liz, the next question. What is your stance on the recent Grover Beach employee wage dispute negotiation conflict, and what is your solution?
I was at the meeting last week where the employees did picket City Hall. It takes a long, long time for employees to get together, organize, and feel strongly enough that what they have gone through, they do not feel appreciated. They do not feel like they have been listened to. Our employees took furlough days for, I don't know if it was 6 months or a year, but City Hall was closed almost every Friday, monthly for a very, very long time. And our employees held in there, hung in there. And I think at this time, we need to go to the table and really deal with them with integrity and with respect, and to come to the table and talk with them. It's very, very, very important for our employees.
Thank you. Jeff?
As a member of the current council, there's several of us that are probably not going to be able to say what's as much as we know about the situation. But I will represent that the two sides, we'll say the city and the SEIU labor representatives, have been negotiating since March of this year. There has been significant discussion. There has been significant opportunities to have a back-and-forth dialogue. So, and I will say I am a proud union member and supported by a number of unions. So I am very appreciative of staff. I'm appreciative of what they do, and I want to get this resolved so to make sure that we maintain the city services that are there for the community while having a living wage and having a respected and trusted employees working on behalf of the city.
Thank you. Debbie?
Well, clearly it's time to talk some more. And I was really pleased and impressed that staff felt comfortable enough to actually come and express themselves. And I was very glad to hear what they had to say, because up until then, we really didn't know. And one of the things that struck me and that I certainly want to take a look at was one of the comments that it was a percentage-based increase. When you have a percentage-based increase and you're on the bottom of the totem pole, that's a lot less money than a percentage-based increase when you're at the top of the totem pole. And so I think that we need to look very carefully at that, and I think we also do need to look very carefully at the folks who have put in years after years, at decades, serving the city. That is worth something, and I appreciated hearing more about things that we can and maybe should be doing.
Thank you. Barbara?
It's a little difficult as a council member to meet in closed session and hear the union representative make his points and hear the committee make their points and not have too much to say about what's going on, other than, yeah, we think we're going in the right direction, or no, I don't think you're going in the right direction. I think we have worked very sincerely with the union, and I see that the employees are not happy. And that surprises me to a great extent, because I think the morale in our city as a whole has improved extremely in the last few years. So all we can do is go back to the table and talk until we get a solution.
Okay, thank you. Miriam?
I know I'm a politician, so everything is supposed to roll off of me, but this one really got me in the heart when our employees came and especially said that they were so unhappy working at the city, because I've said it publicly and I'll say it again tonight, we have the best staff that there is, and I've always tried to appreciate them at every turn. Whenever I get to vote to give them new equipment, to give them things to do their jobs better, to hire more people, because I know how much they've done with so little for so long, I've done it.
But I can't just always vote in favor of my friends. I also have to think of the residents. And when we're offering people a 6% increase, and when people are getting 100% medical, I'm in a very tough spot because other cities are laying people off. And when we're paying at market, it's hard to push above market because I'm in charge of you guys' money. So it's a tough situation. I want to keep talking, and it's one that's really got my heart and my mind.
Thank you. Robert?
Well, it's certainly a situation that needs to be resolved. As a business owner, you don't want unhappy employees ever. And the administrative staff for the city is paid very well, as they should be. And we have a great staff. And we have great maintenance workers as well. And they should be paid a living wage that they can be happy with. And they're not happy right now, as they demonstrated last week when they did the walk. They did a walk in City Hall demonstrating against low wage and they weren't happy with negotiations and they weren't happy with what they offered. They suffered a lot over the last 2 years, I believe, if not longer. They gave up the furloughs and they stuck it out. We have a lot of people that have been here for a long time. We got some great people. We need to work it out, somehow find it within the budget to increase their wages. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question, we'll start with Debbie. Liz, did you answer that last question? You did. I beg your pardon. So, Jeff, we're going to start with you. What is your current position? It segues to the other question. What is your current position on the pension situation in Grover Beach? And do you have a plan to resolve this issue if there's a problem?
So the position on pension right now is PERS is actually increasing or decreasing their rate of return. And so the liability that comes to the city is actually increasing. So there's a possibility that it may increase as much as 100 or 200% in the next 3 to 5 years. So it's definitely something that we need to solve locally and through fiduciary responsibility. So tightening our belts where we need to. And also, as I mentioned earlier, potentially paying down some of that PERS responsibility or that PERS liability through use of cannabis funding as one-time funding. So there are a number of issues, going back to the League of California Cities event that I attended last week, where there are opportunities to modify our PER system or modify our system of compensation in order to address some of those concerns. I'm really looking forward to possibly doing some of that or all of that, depending upon what the situation calls for.
Thank you. Debbie?
Well, it's been something that we've been avoiding, and fortunately, Grover Beach is in not as bad position as most of the other cities in the county and even in the state. However, there's still an awful lot there, and we need to pay more attention to it. And the other thing we need to do is it needs to be itemized in such a way that we can quantify it and we really know what it is. Because right now, when you look at the city budget, you can't figure it out. It's in all different departments, it's in all different areas, and it's impossible. So if we can't quantify it, we can't fix it. There are some funds in reserves that we could also be using, and I think that we may reach the stage where we decide that some of it has to come out of reserves also.
Thank you. Barbara?
Another statewide issue that is weighing on many, many, many cities. Unfortunately, the financial downturn a few years ago did not alleviate anything. The PERS payouts were still the same, and it practically went broke. We have to fix it. We have to fix the way it's being invested. We have to fix it in regard to the many double dippers that are on there. They get their PERS payout from one company, and they go to another company and get another PERS payout after working there. And it is just not fair.
Okay. Thank you. Miriam?
I would maybe disagree with the statement that we've been avoiding this issue. I feel like we've been planning for it. Every year now for 2 years, we've sat down with the financial advisor. We knew this was coming. We knew this was happening. We know that we're going to have to be paying a larger amount of money for PERS. Our financial advisor told us 2 years ago this was coming. So that was one of the reasons when every other city around here was running away from marijuana, we said, let's give it a shot. And we are today in a lot better shape than the cities around us because we have an economy that is on the verge of expanding greatly. So I'm optimistic about it. Of course, no one likes to pay more for the same thing, but we're going to get through it. We've been preparing for this.
Thank you. Robert?
Well, as everyone has stated, it is a statewide problem. People that have worked most of their lives in these careers deserve a pension, and I'm not familiar with the numbers, or I'm not even sure how to fix it, but I'm certainly willing to do my homework and get in there and get a decision on how to fix it. Thank you.
Thank you. Liz?
Underfunded PERS, as well as our infrastructure and dilapidated streets, as well as our homeless situation and the picketing of City Hall by our dedicated employees who have a combined years of service of 255 years, a sufficient police force, must be the number one priorities as we go forward and become fiscally responsible in serving our citizens. These must be taken care of now or else our future is... we must take care of these problems now. Thank you.
Thank you. Debbie, you will get the next question. I'd like to remind everyone that if you would have any additional questions, there's some paper and some pencils in the back.
I think that was our last question.
Okay. We've got one more question? Time? Okay. So one last question. Let's go back to streets, because now that our streets are being repaired based on the recent bond issue, what steps are being taken or should be taken to ensure that streets are being well maintained?
I love that question. I was the mayor when, for the first time in decades, the council actually put together a comprehensive plan to fix the streets. We quantified the cost. We put it out in a bond. The city voted for it. And now we're way ahead of the game on it. We're way ahead of our projected timeline. So I'm really, really pleased about that. If we continue the way we're continuing, I think we will be in a position to have the funds to continue to maintain the streets. It's all about the planning of it. The one area that we're still having difficulty with is not the residential streets, but the main streets of the city. And we are going to have to find funds to do that. And much of it can come by way of grants. We do get a great deal of money from the state for that. And the San Luis Obispo Council of Governments has always been very generous in working with us to get funding for streets. There's more coming now from the state. So we will need to allocate more of that to the main streets of town.
Thank you. Barbara?
We are fortunate enough to have a technology system that has rated every street in the city. It will upgrade as the streets are upgraded, and it will help us get a maintenance timeline so that we can maintain the status of the streets so we won't have to take them right down to the base again and redo them.
Very good. Miriam?
Yes. Building on what Barbara's was just saying, I've learned more about PCI indexes and streets than I think anyone would ever want to know. But the long and short of it is the streets are never going to be perfect. They're never going to be PCI 100. But our goal is to have them PCI 60s or 70s. And it's much easier to maintain streets and keep them at a 60 or 70 when they're not crumbling. So once we get these foundations rebuilt and get them back up, then we just have to keep sealing them and maintaining them at a 60 or 70. That being said, we absolutely still need funds to do that. We need that gas tax measure. So I personally hope that we keep it. And we also need the economic development for our main roads. And K-14 only goes so far. So at that point, property taxes need to be up. Economic development needs to be up. And we need to just keep our PCI index maintained.
Thank you. Robert?
Well, I think we all agree maintenance of the streets is the most important thing. It's probably what caused the streets to fall in such disrepair as it was, not to mention the fact that many of them weren't prepared properly in the first place. And hopefully they're doing the job correctly this time. So maintenance on the streets is the number one priority, that they get sealed and taken care of. And I'd like to maybe make some restrictions on some of the roads for these large trucks that keep tearing up the roads. I mean, we have a lot of large trucks coming through here on roads that they shouldn't be on. I see them all the time. And but there's no restrictions for that on many of these roads. So I'd like to see something like that come into place. Thank you.
Thank you. Liz?
Thank you. Councils of the past, and I mean in the past 15 or 20 years, have never sufficiently funded our infrastructure. I was of a group of people that actually picketed City Hall to put more monies on our streets. This has to be 15 years ago. And that was the only year that the city budgeted $750,000 for our streets. And since then, it went all the way down until almost literally the only money that they were putting towards streets was a gas tax fund of $225,000 a year, thus the bonding of our citizens. Additionally, we already know that there will not be enough K-14 funds to fix all of our streets, so we must do what we say that we're going to do about these streets. Technology is there. It's very, very simple. Maintenance is very important, and I concur 100% with Robert. Robert, we keep our residential streets residential. We keep our commercial streets commercial. They are designed for the weight of these commercial vehicles, and thank you.
Thank you. Jeff?
I'll start by saying, as I've gone out and talked with the community members and learned about the city through my time living here, one of the things that came up in talking to some of the people who were here at the very beginning was streets and maintenance of streets was actually one of the reasons why this city incorporated. So the county wasn't doing maintenance of streets, and so an initiative was brought forward to incorporate the city. And then the city didn't maintain the streets either. So moving forward, we do have an opportunity to maintain our streets. In 2006, the community did pass a half-cent sales tax, which was intended to go towards some of that street maintenance. So during the recession, some of those funds were used to maintain the services of the city. But now, as we move forward, some of that funding should be used to return towards street maintenance, because we do have a need to diversify our economy, which will provide revenues for the city, which will be used partially for maintenance of the streets.
Very good. Thank you. Let's give a round of applause to the candidates. Thank you. And thank you all so very much for attending, and your city involvement is much appreciated. Some of the candidates will be in the back at their table, and they would love to visit with you. And there's also cookies and refreshment in the back.
And just as a closing
statement.
Okay, this was not on my agenda, but we have 1 minute of closing statement. Is that correct? One minute. I apologize. Okay, so should we start again? So it would be Barbara was the next person in line. So hang on, you guys, if everyone could hang in there for the closing statement. One last minute. Barbara?
I feel privileged to have served the city for the last four years as a council member, the last 18 as a city volunteer, and I ask you to vote for me to reelect for 4 years.
Thank you. Miriam?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for coming tonight. I'm always surprised at how engaged people are here, and pleasantly surprised. And a short member of my campaign team will probably try to hand you one of these on your way out. So those are my kids over there. And please, if you're on Facebook, like my Facebook page, Reelect Miriam Shaw. You can learn more about me. I'm a talker, so being limited to 1 in 2 minutes, this was tough. So, and you can message me there, and we can meet for coffee and have a real conversation. I'm not taking any campaign donations. I'm really going to try to keep this well under $2,000, because I want to encourage people, if you're even thinking about doing this, you can do it too. So let's just all keep getting involved. I would love to have your vote, and I would love you to think about running.
Thank you. Robert?
Thank you all for coming. It's nice to see you. I would like to ask for your vote as well. I realize I'm the new kid on the block, but I've been around the block for a while, and I think I can make a difference to the city council. I'd like to work with whoever's on the council, and I ask for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you. Liz?
Thank you. As our city moves forward, we must make every dollar count. That means watching the bottom line. I am concerned about multiple large payments to consultants for the redesign of projects that have never brought to fruition. I have concerns that our K-14 bond dollars are being used as efficiently as possible to bring our infrastructure back to acceptable limits. We need to infuse public funds into our infrastructure. The health and prosperity of our employees who are on the front line deserve a fair wage and to be treated with respect. I would love to see smaller boutique hotels up and down Grand Avenue leading to our beautiful beach recreation area while being good neighbors. It is time we grow and evolve into a city that everyone can be proud of. I want our city to start getting a much larger part of those visitor dollars to make the city of Gopher Beach a viable and fiscally healthy community now and into the future. If you have any unanswered questions or anything you would like to ask me about, I will be at Finn's Restaurant this coming Wednesday, the 26th at 6 o'clock for a meet and greet. Please come on down and let's talk about what matters to you the most. Thank you so much for your time, and I would appreciate your vote.
Thank you. Jeff?
And I do want to thank everyone for attending tonight's forum as well. So, and I appreciate everyone being engaged in the community as well. So I think community engagement is a key part of our city, because this city is a partnership. It's a partnership between its residences, its businesses, and its staff, whether that be police staff, whether it be fire staff, whether it be public works. Every member of our staff is here to serve the city. And that's what we do as members of the city council, and what I will continue to do as you elect me mayor. So of Gopher Beach, and I humbly request your support this campaign season, and I look forward to serving as your mayor, where we can be a community-driven initiative together.
Thank you. Debbie?
I believe that we can save about 30% of the money that we pay in taxes for our use. Currently, or I should say historically, I worked with our sanitation district to restructure it, and we ended up having $1 million a year more than we would have had otherwise. We can do that again. I can do that again. My professionalism, business, public relations, and government experience give me the edge needed, the skills, the vision, the enthusiasm, the tenacity, and the energy, and the health to support and promote Gopher Beach in a way that creates tourism and businesses that we need to stay on a firm financial footing and maintain that Gopher Beach quality of life. I research carefully, I investigate thoughtfully, I listen actively, I take a reasoned approach to make balanced decisions in your best interest. And as a small business owner, I've been able to bring business sense and fiscal accountability to the management and operation of local government. I've introduced sound financial practices and unambiguous reporting. When you vote, you trust your money, your livelihood, your quality of life with that candidate. I would very much appreciate your vote.
Now we can thank the candidates. Thank you. Thank you so very much, and thank you for attending. The candidates will be available later for some questions, so please join for some cookies and some coffee in the next room.